absolutism broke America. Representative government is built on compromise, not puritanical fanaticism, by Will Statton. Now, if you know me, you're already thinking, how is he going to read this one with a straight face? But I have to say, I really believe that Will is coming at this from a good faith place. And everybody else I've brought to you who has this attitude, I've put them down as being sneaky and repressive. I honestly don't think Will is sneaky or repressive, but I think he's woefully misguided. So maybe, dear listeners and viewers, we can help Will understand some of this better. Some time ago, well before the Trump presidency, it became clear that the Republican Party was a morally and intellectually bankrupt organization. Indeed, only a morally and intellectually bankrupt organization could have selected Donald Trump, a sociopath with the IQ of an earthworm, to lead it. I draw a distinction here between Republican and conservative. I believe certain conservative ideas and ideals are important and ought to be a part of the national discourse. I do too. The problem is that the Republican Party no longer stands for any of those ideas or ideals. The Obama presidency illustrated this perfectly. Rather than push for traditional conservative solutions, Republicans abandoned their own best ideas to be embraced by Democrats. Obamacare, cap and trade, and the emphasis on free trade represented by the Trans-Pacific Partnership stand out as valuable conservative contributions to policy that Republicans abandoned, retreating instead into the dangerous fantasy of climate change denialism and defending a wholly inadequate status quo in healthcare. I have to stop often here, but I think he's fooled by the idea that free trade is actually free trade when it's not. All it does is free transnational corporations to rape and pillage the entire world. I have to tell Will here that in my book, I don't think the game of monopoly is free trade. I think monopolistic systems are not free. They may start out free, but they quickly become not free as the time goes on. Republicans have driven away many, perhaps most or even all, members of their party with either a brain or a moral compass. Now that's unnecessary. It's unfair and it's not true. I know it's easy to resort to that kind of thinking, though. Now referred to as Republicans in name only, or RINOs, this endangered species represents the remnants of thoughtful, intellectual conservatism aimed at addressing society's problems. In their stead are climate change deniers, white supremacists, and neo-fascist MAGA morons. Conservatives may be anti-abortion, but Republicans want to force rape victims and women whose lives are at risk to have babies. Conservatives may be pro-gun, but Republicans want no limits at all on the types of weapons and ammunition one can own, and they're willing to let anyone have those instruments of death, no questions asked. Conservatives propose thoughtful responses to problems like climate change with ideas such as cap and trade, but Republicans bring snowballs into the Senate to dismiss science. Conservatives may worry about the economic versus public health trade-offs of addressing a pandemic, but Republicans pretend a lethal illness is a hoax except when they grovel at the feet of a man proposing to cure that illness by injecting bleach. These criticisms only address the face value. They don't address the underlying problem. The problem is that the Republican Party has become just as corporate as the Democratic Party has. They're not morons. All of their positions have an agenda behind them, and that agenda is to keep their donors happy. It would be nice to just say they're stupid, but it's not really true. They are morally bankrupt, though. Alas, if this is a path the Republicans took many years ago, it is one down which Democrats now seem eager to follow them. For Democrats, distinct from liberals as Republicans are from conservatives, this trend seems to have begun more recently, in 2016 with Bernie Sanders' primary campaign for the Democratic nomination. Unlike Trump, Sanders is no sociopath. He seems, in fact, like a decent human being. However, many of his followers, like many of Trump's, elevated him beyond mortal status and began using support for his policy prescriptions as the same sort of moral litmus tests Republicans had previously used to degrade themselves. I'm going to let him go a little further down this path before we try to rein him in. There is not yet a Democratic equivalent to RINO. I call them PINOs, progressive in name only. But the progressive wing of the party is encroaching on the turf of irrational immorality the same way the white supremacists did to the Republicans. Anyone who disagrees with their inane proposals is a capitalist shill or a tool of the establishment, meaningless criticisms that betray the intellectual void on the far left. Now, usually people who criticize us for calling people capitalist shills have their own agenda. And by having their own agenda, I mean they have their own evil agenda, their own corporate agenda. I think this guy, though, is genuinely confused. At least I hope so. Liberals want to expand healthcare coverage, but progressive Democrats disavow anyone who raises legitimate questions about the implementation and efficacy of Medicare for All. Liberals want to address climate change, but progressive Democrats think that America and the world can transition away from fossil fuels overnight without any economic costs or any damage to the lives and livelihoods of real human beings. Liberals want to mitigate income inequality, but progressive Democrats insist that anyone against a $15 living wage is a greedy corporatist, no matter that $15 doesn't really translate into a true living wage anywhere in the nation. It's just an arbitrary number, but don't tell that to progressive Democrats, lest you betray yourself as an enemy of the people. No, actually, you're right. It isn't $15 that really matters. What you may not realize is that Americans are 400% more productive now than they were in 1950. Our wages have been uncoupled from our productivity, and the surplus is going right into the pockets of the wealthy. Yes, rather than supporting some arbitrary $15 an hour minimum wage, what we really should do is connect somehow our productivity to our wages in a way that the rich people couldn't subvert. And so the world's most diverse democracy, a nation in which public discourse is of the utmost importance for the survival of our form of government and the progress it can engender, finds itself strangling on its own inflexible stupidity. Who are the losers in this paradigm? The American people, of course. All of us, regardless of our beliefs, suffer when a system that is built on finding the best outcomes via dialogue and debate instead morphs into a form of political trench warfare. Rigid ideologies are always bad, but at least if there was only one rigid ideology, there would be some sort of movement. But no, America's incapacitated federal government is in the no man's land between warring ideological factions who are hell-bent on rushing the enemy's trenches, unwilling and unable to hear the concerns or see the humanity of the people within. And that's a good point as far as it goes. It is no wonder that so little progress is made on so few issues when both sides care more about being right than about doing right. Just like the British in World War I sent tens of thousands of men to their deaths at the Somme to push the Germans back 7 miles, Americans' two major political parties are willing to sacrifice the nation for controlling the Senate by 2 or 3 seats. Will, what you don't see is that the corporations are paying to divide us like this. Morally and intellectually bankrupt. As Winston Churchill said, democracy is the worst form of government except for all the rest. Only under a representative government can we hope for the type of progress that will benefit people with a wide array of beliefs and values. It is imperfect, messy, and frustrating, but humanity has yet to devise a better political system for facilitating the types of discourse and understanding necessary to move forward and forge a better tomorrow. This is the sort of nation America was and ought to be, but the moral absolutism that both political parties increasingly espouse is an ominous sign for the future of democracy and therefore of progress. So let me tell you what's really going on here, Will, because I really believe that you want progress. The American people actually agree quite a bit, and certainly enough to get things done. The American people desperately want progress, and they would give a little and get a little and compromise, and they would do it. The reason it's not getting done isn't because of the factions you're talking about. The reason it's not getting done is because the oligarchs don't want it. And because the oligarchs own the media, it's very easy for them to keep us thinking that we each other are the problem. And the oligarchs want all of us to think that the Republicans should blame the Democrats and the Democrats should blame the Republicans and we should all blame each other instead of blaming the oligarchs. The only way to achieve democracy in this country is to have a democratic media. We could probably get the government on track if we could get the media on track. If we had a free and fair media, we could probably get to a free and fair economic system. But until we do, then people like you are going to write articles that are drastically shaped by the narratives that the media are telling you and telling all of us. And as long as we keep thinking the way you're thinking, we'll never point our attention to the real villains in this story. And the correct solutions to the problem will never dawn on us because we're so brainwashed by what the media are telling us. So I congratulate you for writing this article. I think that's a good start. I think we all need to have this dialogue and understand each other. And if we ever do, if we ever get that job done, we'll be able to focus our attention on the real problem. But in the meantime, it seems like a losing battle because so many of the people who vote are also swilling the corporate Kool-Aid media narrative management.